Joshua and the Kingdom. Let's turn to the book of Joshua. For Israel, as a nation, was once led into a kingdom some long centuries ago, and perhaps we can follow them into the promised land and to see whether we are following the same path or doing what they did, or perhaps we can learn something and prevent ourselves, at least to some extent, from making mistakes that might be costly to us. This is in the book of Joshua. We'll start reading in the first chapter. In Joshua 1, Israel has come out of Egypt, has been given the law, made a covenant people, has spent 40 years in the wilderness, much of it in disobedience, but still in the hand of God, led through, and kept on the way to the kingdom in spite of many of them desiring to want to go back to Egypt. And now they're ready to come into the land that has been promised to them. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the river, the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So he is giving instruction to Joshua, that Joshua is to lead the people into the kingdom, and that God will be with him, and here is the warning, to follow the law. This is what you're to be strong and of good courage for. Do according to all the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now I read all of that because as I read the rest of this, I want you to remember that the word Joshua is the same word that is translated salvation in the Old Testament in many places, and the Greek equivalent translated into English is Jesus. It means salvation. Joshua or Yahshua in the Old English is the same word. So Joshua, in effect, is a type of Christ. Remember, even the prophecy of Christ himself was that God would raise up another prophet like unto Moses. Now here we have found that God himself has told Joshua, I will be with you as I was with Moses. So that Joshua, of course, is still a mortal man, but he is, in effect, doing that which Christ would do when Christ would take the children of Israel into the kingdom. Now, this is the old promised land, and we believe that the new promised land, of course, is the kingdom land, the land that Israel will obtain to when they go into the kingdom. So he's with him. He says, be strong to do the laws and the statutes and the judgments that I have given you, and I will be with you. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess that. So the people then also must be told by Joshua and the people under him that they are going to have the land. Prepare yourself. Get ready to go into the kingdom. Verse 16, after he tells some of them what they should do, they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy word in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death, only be strong and of a good courage. So the people, in effect, speak back to Joshua in the same manner that God had spoken to Joshua. They said, be strong of good courage to him, and they said, we will do what you tell us to do, and all who will not will be put to death. Now, repeating again that Joshua is a type of Christ, let us remember that when this nation, the United States of America, was founded, our colonial forefathers, in effect, entered into covenant relationship with Jesus Christ that they would do all that he said they should do. And you know we've done this on the radio, and some of you have copies of Pastor Stansfield's tract on that, that many of them, in their writings, not only did they bind themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, but they bound their heirs. In other words, the people who would follow after them. So, you and I and this generation are bound under their oath to Jesus as these people were bound to Joshua. Now, this does not mean, as we'll see later, that they're all born-again Christians. And one of the things I want you to understand as we see how they crossed Jordan into the kingdom, they didn't stay on the other side of Jordan and preach to all of them until they all believed. There were certain things they had to do, which they would do as a people. Let's go on in chapter 3, and I'll just mention chapter 2 in passing. It's too long to read it. You know that they sent out the spies to Jericho. Now, Jericho was the first major stronghold which they would have to take when they entered into Canaan land. And they sent these men out who then came back and told them about the people in Jericho and about the people in Canaan land. So, as we today must learn about the people who occupy the control of the kingdom. They had to be told before they went across Jordan that the enemy was in command of all the cities in Canaan land. Now remember, they had heard this at Kadesh Barnea and had rebelled and turned back. Now they're told again by the men who have gone to Jericho, and in verse 24 of chapter 2, they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint before us. Now you may think, this is not happening today. But when you really realize how fearful the enemies of Christ and the enemies of America are of the Word of God, then you'll realize that they're actually fainting before us. When our people reach the point where we will hold up and believe and act on the Word of God, our enemies are going to show that fear, which they already have. And that fear is evidenced today primarily by their attempt to keep us away from the Word of God. They must realize in their own hearts and minds that if we get the Word of God, they're all through. So I believe there is a fear in the camp of the enemy which occupies the kingdom, the new promised land, which perhaps we haven't seen yet. But let's go on in chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua, the type of Jesus, arranged for the Ark of the Covenant to go first. If you'll recall, contained in the Ark of the Covenant were the law, were the tablets of the law, and the covenant, and, of course, Aaron's rod, which in effect was the power of God. So the power, the law, and the covenant had to go before the people. He said, you come, you follow when you see it, but you don't get too close to it. Now, some of us are concerned because most of the people won't have anything to do with the covenant. Well, here they're told, you keep a little distance between you and the covenant. And he said, ye have not passed this way heretofore. As Israel of old had not been in Canaan land, neither have we been in the kingdom. This is a new road for us. As we go on into the kingdom of God, we're going to have to follow something, because very few of God's Israel people know the way. They've not been there before. And so far, we have this among the children of Israel. I'll just list these because you may see them being manifested now. Some of them are at least partially hidden. But the Israel people, ready to go into Canaan land, have number one, Joshua, or salvation, or Jesus, as their leader. And number two, some, not all, but at least some of the leaders of the people have committed all of them to obey that leader or king, Joshua. Number three, they know at least in part about the enemy in the land. They've only been into Jericho, so this is not a necessity, apparently, in God's sight, that they know everything about all the enemy and all the cities of Canaan land. They know in part. And I think you know that some of the people in America know in part about the enemies in control of the kingdom land today. And number four, they were all to move when they see the Ark of the Covenant move. They were to move when they saw the law and the covenant and the power of God. Now, most of our people yet today have not seen the law, the covenant, and the power of God. Let's go on. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Well, praise the Lord, he didn't say, get ready, for tomorrow you're going to have to fight your way across Jordan. He said, sanctify yourselves. That means, in effect, make yourselves clean. Remember, in the sanctification of the priests, they had to wash themselves and their garments. They had to be clean before the Lord. That's what we were talking about last week. The people had to turn and repent of their sins and get ready for a miracle of God. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now this crossing Jordan apparently was not going to be the complete magnification or exalting of Joshua. He said, this day I begin to magnify thee. This day God was going to do something that would give the people evidence that Joshua was as Moses in the sight of God. Today we would have to say that would be something that would magnify Jesus so that our people would recognize he is the one like unto Moses who has been raised up for us. And he was going to do that with the law and the covenant in sight of the people. Verse 8, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. He moved out, or ordered to be moved out, the law and the covenant, so the people could see it. And then he called the people and said, come and hear the words of the Lord your God. Now, I think perhaps that before we cross Jordan and begin the actual battle which followed in here and taking over old Canaan land, our people, by and large, are going to have to hear at least in part the word of the Lord, and the law and the covenant, or the Ark of the Covenant, is going to have to be in full view of all the people. You have to visualize this a little bit, in that you can see that with the priest down at the bank of the water, or the edge of the water, in all of Israel, and remember, about 3 million people there, had to be lined up on the high ground so they could see what was going on. And then he told them to come and hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Now this, in the natural, and even remembering that the children of Israel, by and large, still didn't believe everything that had been told them. Remember, Moses had trouble with these people all the way through the wilderness. This was not a people who went in faith and said, we'll do everything you say, and then did it. They told Moses they would obey, and then they turned right around and disobeyed. And so these people are now being told that all that has to be done is the priest and the Ark of the Covenant put their feet in the water, and the waters will be stopped, and they go over Jordan. Now, that's pretty hard to believe, isn't it? It's pretty hard for us to believe that the preaching of the law and the covenant and the glorification of Jesus Christ is going to stop the enemy and let us go into the kingdom, too. So, maybe they all didn't believe it. It isn't important that they did, and in fact, the Scripture does not tell us that they all believed it. But he's chosen the priest to carry the ark, and he's chosen 12 men now, apparently, to lead the people. Verse 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come under Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark dipped in the brim of the water, and notice this is flood time, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest. They apparently crossed Jordan when the water was the highest. They didn't go over at low water. They went over when the trouble or problem before them looked the worst. This was the deepest water they would see in Jordan all year, and that's the time God chose to take them over Jordan. I have a suspicion that when our people get ready to move over Jordan into the kingdom, it will look like the flood is going to prevent us, too. But anyway, they went down there in the time of the highest water, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarephath, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. The waters stopped, built up in a heap. Now, I suppose someday someone will make a movie about that, like they made the Ten Commandments and showed that water standing up in a heap as they crossed the Red Sea. Some of you have seen that. And it's rather spectacular to see on the movie screen. I wonder what it looked like if you actually saw it in person. And here these people were given this miracle now that would justify or glorify Joshua in the sight of the people. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now perhaps you can see at least some of this being manifested in some manner here in America, and I believe to some extent in the rest of Christian Israel. As I mentioned, Jesus is the God of America. So we have our Joshua. He has been given us as our king, even though most of the people may not think that he's going to lead us in the kingdom, just as the scriptures here are silent about all of them believing that Joshua would be able to take them into the kingdom land. And in America, our colonial covenants named Christ as their Savior and King. And some of you will recall the story, which apparently is true, of George Washington. I believe it was still during the Revolutionary War, as they were trying to work out the kind of government they would set up in America. And many people, of course, coming from England and having been under a king, saw nothing wrong with monarchy as long as it was restrained in its taxation and so on of the people. And so there was some consideration of the possibility of setting up a monarchy in America. And George Washington was approached by a delegation who asked him if he would be the first king if they decided to have a monarchy. And George Washington was reported to have told them that no, he would not. America already had a king, and that king was Jesus Christ. He would be their civil ruler, or president, or whatever they wanted to call him, but he would not take the title of king because America had a king. Now, Israel of old had Joshua, or Yeshua, or salvation, or Jesus. We also have this same personage in, of course, Jesus Christ. Number three, many of the people in America know an awful lot about the enemy, just as many of the people in Israel would have known a lot about the enemies in the land. Remember, ever since Kadesh Barnea, they had had the stories, and of course they had some difficulty with the Edomites already in the wilderness. The enemy in the land was not unknown to the children of Israel. The communist or antichrist enemy in America is not unknown to our people. In fact, sometimes they're known so well we're fearful of them. So you see, God had to do with Israel what he is doing to America, to build up our trust in Joshua, Jesus, before we cross the Jordan, and, in fact, by the crossing of the Jordan. And America is now, finally, in the last 25 years, being told of the law and the covenant. If you'll think in terms, some of you older people, of the preaching back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, you heard little or nothing about the truth that America was under covenant relationship with God. The covenant was hidden from the people. Now here in the crossing of the Jordan, it has to be taken out in plain sight, the law and the covenant, by the priest right into the middle of Jordan. They can't miss it because they've got to go by it into the kingdom. Now, I do not think that we'll cross our Jordan until our people, at least to a great extent, have seen the Ark of the Covenant. And by that I mean seen and heard the preaching of the law and the covenant and the power of God to actually lead us into the kingdom. And that's happening in America right now. Now, you'll notice here that the only people that were out there were the priests that bear the Ark, and that all the people had to pass them, and the priest stood in the dry ground. Verse 17, the priest that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I wonder, again, is it possible still that there were a lot of people who passed over that still did not believe in the covenant? I think so. Actually, all they had to believe in was that there was no water in the river, right? Let's face it, they did not have to understand the law and the covenant and all of these things in order to pass over. But somebody did. Somebody had to have faith enough to walk into the river with the covenant. And you perhaps understand what I'm getting at. There is a handful of people in America today who believe in the law and the covenant and the power of God enough to walk into Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant when we have to go. Now, here it would have been just a few or enough to carry the Ark. Then he goes on in chapter 4. It came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Now these stones had to come out of the midst of the river where the priest stood. Now I don't know that we can see all the significance of that, but I wonder if someday in the future our people will see that the handful of churches that preached the law and the covenant actually provided part of the foundation for the kingdom. Joshua went to all this trouble of sending 12 men out into the middle of that river while the water was down, took 12 stones, carried them out, and put them in a heap on the other side. Then he goes on. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man, and Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and this also would designate what this is. This is an Israel kingdom. 12, one for each tribe. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Everyone in Israel has to know the reason the waters were cut off was because they were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Now, they might not know that when they passed over, and you notice, he still has not said they all knew that. He said these are for the future. So that when people ask how we got over Jordan into the kingdom, you tell them that the waters were stopped before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. What would that mean? That would mean the waters were stopped because of the covenant of the Lord. When they get into Canaan land, they're all going to have to know they got there because of the covenant. That the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. So they had with them the evidence of the waters having been stopped by the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I would suggest this possibility. We have two groups of people here who have done something. Number one, of course, I should say three. One of them, of course, was one man, and that was Joshua, typifying the Christ, the Savior, giving the instructions and telling the rest of them what to do. Number two, we have the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant. That, I think, perhaps could be typified in America today by the churches that preach the law and the covenant before the children of Israel. But the 12 men who carried the 12 stones were called one out of each tribe. And I wonder if there is not going to be something happen in the civil department of the United States in government, where someone or some few people in the government of the United States again will actually acknowledge the covenant. They will actually carry out and place 12 stones in the sight of all of Israel. Now, these 12 men were not priests. They weren't preachers. They weren't churches. They were one man out of each of the 12 tribes. Now, I don't know, but I do know that there are other prophecies that indicate that the kings in Israel and the elders will hear the word of the Lord. So don't be too surprised if sometime in the future you find a few men in government standing up and stating they believe we are the Israel people and that we're under covenant and we're going into the kingdom. Okay, let's go on. Verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. So there are actually two sets of 12 stones here. One of them was carried out of the river and put where they lodged. The other were 12 stones set up in the middle of the river, and the writer of this book says they are there unto this day, and my margin references says B.C. 1427, indicating that at the time this book was written, there were still 12 stones down under the water of the river of Jordan where the priest had stood. So whatever God did, he left something right there where the priest stood in the sight of all Israel and preached. That's what they were doing. Stop and think about it a moment. When they carried out the Ark of the Covenant in the sight of all people, what were they doing? They were proclaiming the power of God's law and his covenant to the people, because that power stopped the waters of Jordan. Well, let's drop down to verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now all the people of the earth didn't know, and still to this day do not know, that God dried up Jordan and brought Israel into the promised land. But I believe, and I know this from hundreds of other verses of Scripture, that all the people of the earth will know when Israel comes into the kingdom. And they'll know Israel came in because of the covenant and because of the law. And then they all lived happily ever after in the kingdom, didn't they? Chapter 5. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. Now, finally, the enemy is terrified. The enemy is terrified. When we cross over our Jordan, and I know it's a little hard to put all these things in perspective as where we are. I believe most prophecies are seen after they're fulfilled. So we have to do a little speculating on just where we are. People write me and ask me if I think we're still in the wilderness, or have we come out of the wilderness, or have we crossed Jordan, or where are we? Well, I do know that our enemy is fearful of us, but he's not yet really terrified. He's not yet terrified. But after they came across Jordan, now we find their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel, because all the children of Israel were now born again Christians, and the enemy was afraid of all these Christians. No, brother, sister. Let's get the horse before the cart here. And this next few verses is why I said God will bring Israel across Jordan and terrify our enemies without all of our people being Christian believers or believing in the covenant or the law. They'll see it. But I wonder, maybe all will need to believe in the covenant are enough ministers to carry it before the people and enough men to carry the stones out of the river. And of course, our Joshua, our Jesus. Let's go on. What did they do now? At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now remember, you know this from the story in the book of Exodus, and this is verified in the books of Kings and Chronicles. It's mentioned many times that the people who rebelled and who wanted to go back to Egypt and didn't want to go into Canaan land actually died in the wilderness. So they had to have this 38 years after Kadesh Barnea allowing all of these people to grow old and died. Everyone over 20 years of age was allowed to die who did not want to go in the kingdom. And, verse 5, now all the people that came out were circumcised out of Egypt, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. How about that? They were more Christian when they came out of Egypt than when they crossed Jordan. Isn't that something? The whole nation was circumcised when they crossed the Red Sea, but very few of them were circumcised when they went into the kingdom. Now, I know that some of us think, well, we've got to convert this whole populace. In fact, there's a lot of preaching today. The ministers call it the gospel of salvation. And Billy Graham and these other men come right out and say, well, we can't do God's law because we're not a nation of Christians. What we have to do is to convert everybody, and then we can do what Christ tells us or God tells us. No, not according to what happened when Joshua, the type of Jesus, carried Israel across Jordan into the old promised land. The whole nation, literally, was uncircumcised. Now that means a lot to me, because some of us decry, and some ministers do, they say, isn't it terrible? 90% of our college students attend no church whatsoever. Well, if they attended a church, what would they attend? Some church that taught them false doctrine? So why should we worry about that? Our people are becoming almost heathens, with but a very few Christians spread in the land. Well, according to what happened here, and as we understand the New Testament, circumcision of the heart has replaced circumcision of the flesh, and Israel was circumcised after they got into Canaan, after they got into the kingdom, after they crossed Jordan, after they saw the power of the covenant and the law stopping the waters to let them pass. He said, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Who died in the wilderness? Circumcised people who refused to obey God Almighty. What is one of our greatest problems today? Christian people who refuse to obey God's word, right? That's who died in the wilderness. Circumcised people who obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, their uncircumcised children, if you please, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, or Jesus circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. In other words, Israel had to cross Jordan with the power of the law and the covenant under the leadership of Joshua, and they crossed mostly as uncircumcised people and were converted in the kingdom. Now, let's not be too concerned about how many people we're converting today. Let's preach the Ark of the Covenant, the Law and the Covenant. Let's take the Law and the Covenant down into Jordan in the sight of all of this uncircumcised Israel. And uncircumcised Israel will cross the Jordan when the Ark of the Covenant holds back the waters to let us go in the kingdom. And brother, sister, you want to see fear in the enemies of Israel when we actually cross our Jordan into the kingdom? I don't think we're there yet. I think we're just barely coming out of the wilderness. So let's not be concerned. Let's not be fearful, because your small churches, your small number of people, or 95% of the people want nothing to do with God's word, at least right now. They're still going to go into the kingdom, not because they're circumcised, not because they're Christians, but because of the covenant God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this great hope that you will save Israel, not because of anything we do or because of our own righteousness or holiness, but for thy great mercy's sake and because of the oath of thy covenant. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.